age of decay, lack of direction and purpose. God has raised his servant, Yemi Adomiju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limits of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how this equal grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adomiju for the Word of His Grace.
While you stand, please take your Bible as you stand. And let's open to the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John chapter number 1. And I'll read from verse 35, John chapter 1, verse 35. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, chapter number 1, beginning from verse 35. Again, the next day, okay, let's read together whatever translation you carry. I'm reading from the New King James Version, any translation. Let's pay attention to the punctuation marks. Are you ready? One, two, go. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him. One of the two who asked John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The day following, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in Jesus' precious name. You may please take your seat. Please go back to the Authorized King James Version and let me read two verses again from that passage. Verses 40 and 41. One of the two which asked John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41. He first found his own brother. He found his own brother. He found his own brother. Verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find that Philip and said unto him, "Follow me." Verse 44. Now Philip was of the city, was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And in verse 45, the Bible says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him," blah, blah, blah. Every found person must find someone. This month we are committed to finding the lost. And from this passage of scriptures we read, everyone, the two disciples, the two that Jesus found, also found someone. Andrew findeth his brother. He first findeth his brother, Simon. Philip, when Jesus found him, findeth his own brother, Nathanael. So everyone that Christ has found must endeavor to find someone. If Christ has found you, then you must find someone. That is the mandate that you have. This morning, let me speak briefly on the believer's mandate. The believer's mandate. I'd like you to please pay attention. Let's start. Who is a believer? That is the question. A believer is not someone who goes to church or comes to church every Sunday. That does not, you know, anybody can come to church. And if you study Job chapter number 1 and chapter and 2, Job chapters 1 and 2, God was holding a service and Satan attended that service. Have you read that in your Bible? The children of God gathered and Satan came. So Satan, anyway, it is not everyone who comes to church that is a believer. In other words, coming to church does not make you a believer. Some come to church for different reasons. To socialize, to look for babe. And some people who are here who got born again because they went to church looking for a babe. Some come to church to look for what to steal. And that's why people steal phone. They can go to great conventions and steal phone and steal wallet and steal anything stealable. So let us establish that a believer is not necessarily someone who goes to church. But, you know, I mean, someone who goes to church is not necessarily a believer. A believer would go to church. I hope I'm not confusing you. Are you following me? So the devil also goes to church. A believer, number one, is one who believes in the existence of God. Believes in the existence of God and trusts Him. Psalm 14, verse 1, part A of it. Psalm 53, verse 1, part A of it. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That's a fool. So the believer is someone who believes in the existence of God. Number two, a believer is one who believes and confesses that Jesus is Lord. He believes in the Lordship of Jesus. He confesses that Jesus is Lord. So many people claim to believe in God, or believe in Jesus, but he's not Lord. He's not Lord. I remember when in the university, I was always out preaching. While waiting for lecturers, I would step out and preach to a class of 300, then 200, then 150. About 150 of us eventually graduated from about 350 that entered. And I would preach. I didn't know there were court boys in my class. I would preach to anybody and everybody. And court boys would never, you know, because I had identified myself. One of the problems we have in this age is because we don't show our identity. We hide our identity. You are anywhere and people don't know who you are, they will offer you what they have. They will offer you what they have. And so, I dawned in those days, it was the age of wearing brooch that preaches Jesus is Lord. And then there was this classmate of mine, a magician, that protested. When I got to him, I shook hands with him, how are you doing? Good morning. And then he read that thing, Jesus, he said, no, Jesus is not Lord. He believes in Jesus, but as far as he's concerned, Jesus is not Lord. So a believer is one who believes in Jesus and confesses him as Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 now says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth. And I am willing and ready to confess it anywhere I am. Brother Ibrahim shared his testimony. He had a movement of in the spirit, a stirring in the spirit, but he didn't want to look stupid in that open field. Brother Ibrahim, you've been in Christ, all of you have been in Christ a long time. When there is a stirring in your spirit, at that moment, it doesn't matter what people say, open your mouth and pray as led by the Spirit of God, because that is an identification, a public identification with Christ. They will be looking at you as a crazy man. It doesn't really matter. So you identify, you confess him as Lord and as Savior. If you believe, come on, lift up your right hand and shout, Jesus is Lord. Come on, I said it, you shout it loud. Shout it louder now, Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth. That's a believer. You believe with your heart and then you are ready to confess him anywhere. Someone has said, I am a believer in Christ Jesus. Are you also among them? I am a believer in Christ Jesus. Odu, what do you mean, swear bed? That was the question someone asked me when growing up. Odu, what do you want to be swear bed? S-U. So they call it swear bed. I said, I'm not swear bed, but I am a believer. I am born again. I have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. He said, what's the difference? I said, there's a whole world of Jesus makes you wiser, smarter, better. And everyone who queried or questioned my salvation, or those who denied, who refused Christ, now, not a boast. They are not better than me. In fact, when I see so many of them, they come to ask for help. And many of them are now turning to Christ after we have done that 30 something years ago for their life to have meaning. Your life has meaning in Christ. May your life have meaning. Who is a believer? Number one who believes in the existence of God. Number two, one who believes in Christ Jesus and confesses him as Lord and Savior. Number three, one who believes in the final authority of the Bible. Who believes the Bible is inspired the word of God and accepts it as the final authority over his life. The word of God is the final authority over issues of life. Listen, a believer believes the word of God has the final say over issues of life. Should I respect my parents? What does the Bible say? I am not a manlian. I believe in what the Bible says. I don't have to be a millennial to believe in what the Bible says. Or not to believe. I believe in what the Bible says. Can I beat my wife? Because she's anointed me. She has anointed me terribly. Then I will look for what the Bible says. As a believer, then I will do what the Bible says. Treat them as a weaker vessel. Treat them with honor and respect. So that your prayers be not hindered. Should I talk to my husband anyhow and insult him because of he's so irresponsible? Sweetheart, do what the Bible says. Wives, submit. Husband, love. Final authority, the Bible. A believer is someone who believes in the final authority of the Bible. I borrowed money from someone and I'm not paying back. Should I say that? The Bible says the wicked borrow it. And pay it not again. You believe in the Bible. If you believe in the Bible, you won't borrow and not pay. You won't forget that you borrowed money from someone. Someone borrowed money from me. And I gave this person privilege. Said he needed money urgently. Then I said, yes. And he needed, he needed so much. I then went to my bank and then I asked for. The person was with you. I just love this person. And then asked for my balance. And they said, I had the credit balance. I had so much money of 120,000 naira.
So, and I gave this brother loan 100,000 out of 120. That's my life. That was my life.
You didn't know why they laughed there. I said that was my life. So 1 year I expected this brother to pay, I didn't pay. 2 years he didn't pay. Then he ran to me one day and presented to me another audience. He needed $60,000. I said, the one you borrowed the last time. He said, and I have not forgotten you. I will pay everything today. I said, no. 3 years after, 4 years, he now came to me after 4 years and said, sorry, that's for money. I want to be paying it instrumentally. 10,000 per month. What happened? She never said that. I told her, God be praised. And then 3 months after, he now bought the first 10,000. I said, now I give it to you. And I gave it to him. I said, that's why you're a man of God. I said, Rara, what I gave to you is your inheritance. I'm telling you. You borrow, it's an inheritance. Your portion. The day you will have an urgent need, very, that will be very visible to all. In fact, visible to the blind. I've given you your. Get here. So the Bible is the final authority. It decides with absolute finality the affairs of our life, the issues of our life as a believer. Anywhere you contradict the Bible, your peace should be withdrawn. It happens to me. Are you listening to me? Because we are all human. Sometimes we offend. Sometimes we transgress. If you're a believer in the Bible today, you now read that Bible, you remember the Bible, then your peace is taken. That's the prayer I pray. God, take my peace anytime I offend. And he has always been doing it. How many believers do I have in the house this morning? You believe God exists. I know you believe. You believe Jesus is Lord. And you have confessed with your mouth. Do you believe in the Bible? Why are you offending the Bible? Why are you believing contrary to the word of God? Why? Each time you offend against the word of God, just know that you are an unbeliever. Time is flying. And I have not even started my message. What is a mandate? A mandate is an authoritative command, a formal order given by a superior officer or person to an inferior one. Merriam-Webster's definition. An authoritative command, it becomes a mandate. A formal order. I order you to do that one. Given by a superior to an inferior is a mandate. What is a mandate? Authorization to act given to a representative is a mandate. So, it is a command. It is an order. It is also an authorization. To act as a representative, you have a mandate. It's an authorization to act. If I give Pastor Shola the microphone, preach, he has authorization. That is a mandate. I give any pastor this pulpit, he has that mandate for that 1 hour. Are you following me? He has an authorization to act. As long as he is there, he has that, he has been authorized. Whether he now does it properly or not is a different ballgame. Are you following me? the way you are looking at me this morning. Are you with me? Come on, shout hallelujah. I remember one man giving a mandate in my former church. It was my responsibility to give people mandate. Don't forget, mandate is command or order and also authorization to act. So, it was my responsibility to give people authorization to mount the pulpit and preach and teach. And so, my pastor, the general of affairs, found out the church was seated. And I sat beside him. And this pastor took the microphone. And he began to talk rubbish. Oh my God. I guess Pastor Shala was there, and some Pastor Matthews, and some pastors here. He began to talk rubbish. He was to teach at a Bible study. And he began to talk. He said, today I'm going to preach about about fruitlessness and barrenness. What are the signs of fruitlessness? And then he began to use vulgar words. You won't want me to use them. But let me coach them so that I can use them. Quote. You cannot fuck your wife very well. Unquote. Quote. If you can't do more than one round, it's a sign of barrenness. Unquote. And my pastor said, hear me, but really. Where did you see? I could only say, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. That 1 hour, he messed it. He just was talking rubbish. He was there. He was just talking rubbish. Because I was so ashamed. I was so you know, vulgar things. No scripture, you know, he was just talking. You would have pitied me more than this if you were there. And the person would look at me again. Hear me? And I would say, yeah, he called my name up to 5 times. And I was sitting beside him. Hear me? I would say, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Authorization to ask. Now let's leave that person. Let's come back home. You have been given a mandate. Or some mandate. You have a mandate. The believer's mandate. Let's not go to how you are doing it. Let's look at the mandate first. Your mandate, don't forget, it is a command. A command. An order. Then an authorization to act. That authorization is given to you as a representative of Jesus here on earth. The day you born again, you became the candidate of heaven. Jesus should have taken you up from this polluted world, from this dirty and stinking world. But he left you here to represent him, and he gave you a mandate. The mandate, number one, being. B-E-I-N-G. Being. Number two, doing. D-O-I-N-G. Number three, telling. T-E-L-L-I-N-G. Being, doing, and telling. That's the mandate. Being, doing, and telling. It's a threefold. The believer has a threefold mandate of being, doing, and telling. Being, doing, and telling. Let me add one definition to a believer. A believer is someone who believes in the Lord is God and believes his prophet and obeys the prophet. So if you believe in me as a prophet and you obey me as a prophet, you will have to do what I am led to ask you to do, including switching off your phone in church. Being. You see, in John chapter number 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he said, we know you're a good teacher from God because nobody can do these miracles that thou doest except the Lord be with him. He was placing the calf before the horse. And how did Jesus answer? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be
Be born again. Being. So what are we to be, or what our being? We are expected, we have been given a mandate of being the salt and the light. The salt of the earth, the light of the world, and the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 13 to verse 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, very quickly. Are you with me, media? Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? I like it to pay attention to the next sentence. Wherewith shall it be salted? And we're going to pray on that verse. It is thenceforth good. Finish it. May your life not be good for nothing. When I read this Bible again, I got to that point, I closed the Bible and I went to pray. Father, help me. May my life not be good for nothing. Now, why did I pray that prayer? Why must you pray that prayer? You are the salt of the earth. He said, but if the salt has lost its savor, it was salty before. It had savor before. It was salt. It was sweetening before. It was preserving before. Preventing decay before. But now it has lost its savor. It was adding value before. But now it's no longer adding value. May you not fail God. And it is good for nothing. Again, I pray you will pay it yourself. May you not be good for nothing. But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14, very quickly. Very quickly. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Very quickly, we're going to verse 16. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Are you fulfilling this mandate? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You have a mandate as salt to have value to your world. Salt adds value. Are you adding value to your place of work, the community where you live, your school, your class, the church, your department? Are you sweetening your environment? Salt adds value. When you cook your meal without salt, it becomes tasteless. You can't savor the sweetness of that meal because something significant is missing. Salt. Salt. Your environment should feel it if you live. Because you are the salt, sweetens things, adds flavor, savor to the meal. But when salt loses its delight, when it's removed, when it's no longer there, then it is good. Let me repeat that phrase. Good for nothing. Let me say it louder. Say it loudest. Good. And that's why we have very many believers who are good for nothing. Believers, quote and unquote. They are believers. But this mandate of a thing is a problem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Salt. Sweetens. Then it prevents decay.
Salt prevents decay. You have to salten the world, your environment, the earth, and prevent it from decadence. Everyone you have the privilege and the opportunity to meet, particularly the younger ones. The world is going terrible. The world is going crazy. How can someone just look at himself and say, I don't want to be a boy again, I want to be a girl. And I'm a girl. And the father said, don't you have my son? And the court also put the father into prison for calling the boy who said he wants to be a girl, boy. Did that make sense to you? So they put the father to jail for calling his boy, who said he's not a girl, a boy. He called the boy, girl, the girl, the boy, girl, boy, a boy, a girl, a boy. He called him a boy. He said, he's a boy. And the boy said, I want to be a girl. He said, you're a boy. And the court put the man in prison for calling the girl a boy. Is it she boy? She boy, whatever. It's a crazy word. And so God put you here to sorting the decadence of this age. And it starts from our home. Starts from the next girl you meet, the next boy you meet. Starts. But quite unfortunately, many of us fathers and mothers are not good models to our children. We're not good models to our children. Some of us think we're training, but we are harming. And you must watch it. So, salt. The salt in the environment, sweeten it, preserve it from decadence. Are you doing that? That's commanding. When salt is missing, there will be no delight in the taste. Again, I put in my nose and I say it again. May your life and destiny not be good for nothing. Salt has an inherent power that will not accommodate agents of decay. Salt has that inherent power that will not accommodate agents of decay. So, don't accommodate decadence. Don't accommodate decay. What about light? Light gives illumination and direction. Illumination and direction. So, you have a mandate to shine the light. It says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So it is your good works that shows the radiance of your light. Because of time, you know the three mandates. Be the salt and the light. Do. I'll talk about that in the second service. Doing. Subduing the gates of hell. Doing ministry work. But let's talk about telling. Telling. Matthew 28, 16 and 20. Everybody should hear about this. So, telling. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. That's a mandate. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. That's a thing. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, somebody say all power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye and tell. Go ye and teach. That is tell. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them, telling them, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. That means always. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Telling. You have a mandate to witness unto God to witness to the resurrection of Christ Jesus. You have a mandate of telling people, of finding the lost. Jesus has not told his disciples to go preach and teach. When Andrew findeth his own brother, Simon. When Philip findeth Nathaniel. You have a mandate to tell people about Jesus. It is a mandate. If you close your mouth, you are failing in your mandate. If you don't talk to people about Jesus, you are failing in your mandate. You are failing in plucking people out of the jaws of death, out of the fire. It's your mandate. Tell people about Jesus. Tell that schoolboy. Tell that school girl. Tell that customer. And how do you tell? Number one, by reflecting the character of God. Reflecting the character of God, of God's character, you must reflect it. Let people look at you and conclude, she is a child of God. He is a child of God. This one is different. That's the mandate you have. Your life must preach the gospel. You are the epistle that people are reading. They are not even reading the Bible again. They are reading you. They are reading you. The younger ones are reading you. Your little children are reading you. What are you modeling to them? When I gave my life to Christ, I was preaching everywhere. Much more, my life was preaching. And one day, you know the way our mothers, my mother is there, and Oabumi. Omale. And she called me Omale. And I was preaching everywhere on the street. Then I became angry. Now, you don't want to know how my father beat me. You don't want to know. If my father beat you, you will be like one of the Alufos. You know Alufo? Now, if they beat you blue, black, red, gray, all kinds, and we beat you with wire, long cable, strong, with lacerations all over your body. Now, if it breaks, square, but is it? He doesn't say, I want to give you 34. It could be 200. He's just beating. And you will be screaming. You would have locked the door. And he would ask you to remove your clothes. And sometimes he waits in the middle of the night. That is so. I can go. But you're. And by the time he sees that, the door is locked. And he will start beating me. I took a lot. Every day, I might say, Play football was my offense. Father will beat you. Your mother will be hiding to cry. Or be that was up there. So she called me your mother. So I said, no wonder. Then I became angry. I said, today I want to know my father. Only the SP Baba, no sorry, Baba, it is Baba, not the Bimo command, right? He beat me with the buckle of his belt and he hit my high. Boom. Do you know people who really see stars? It was the first time in my life I saw stars. And the high became reddish. If I didn't know that I would ever see with the eye again, for days I had to go. A primary school boy, probably the 8 o'clock sun, no, pain. I will cover the eye. So show me my father. And in the feet of anger, people are begging me. So the father begged me, the more the anger rose. Show me my father. And my mother had this wardrobe that she decorated, put plates, pirates. I want mommy, I want water, mommy, decorate. In the feet of anger, this energy, and I pushed the wardrobe. Bah! As they begged me my energy. And then I had the voice of a woman. I can never forget. He said, Dina, so by the Bible, I'm a wasalo or my Jesus. Leave him. Now, soon he will carry the Bible and he will be preaching and he will say,
that voice, it was like I looked to the direction.
Oh, why did you say that?
She just wounded me. And I began to weep. Because I had not reflected the character of Christ at all. And I was a preacher on the street. I was a street preacher. I did not reflect. I messed up big time. And I wept as a baby. Leave me alone. Come back to yourself. You fight on the street. They beg you, you don't listen. You destroy and disrupt things. And then you are now inviting them to church. Church, my foot, they will tell you. You have not modeled Christ well. You cheat at work. You falsify documents. And you are now preaching. We do so many things. Now, this morning, I want you to throw such light onto yourself. And as I say, I am throwing such light to myself. Looking at, am I modeling Christ? Am I reflecting God's character properly? Am I fulfilling the Great Commission? Am I speaking to people about Jesus? Your character must speak and the words of your mouth. You have a responsibility. You have a mandate to find the lost. Otherwise, you will be good for bag on your head. I am dying, O Lord. I have a dying voice. I need to die to me. What I long to write in the eyes of faith and be closer drawn to you. Draw me nearer, 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 Lord, to the cross where thou art.
God, I Everybody lift your hand and ask for me, draw me out of
me. Draw me near. There are blessings, Lord, to the cross where
anybody, because he hasn't found you. You've not been found. You've not met the Lord. You've not found the Messiah. You're not born again. You come to church. You are even known in Lighthouse. But does he know you? Pastor may even know you. Maybe I know you. But does God know you? If you are not sure that Jesus knows you, please be sure now. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, lift up your right hand. I want to be born again. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord. Thank you. You are raising your hand to God, my brother, not to man. Raise it properly. Raise it. God bless you.
You have just listened to The World of Your Grace through God's choice servant, Jimmy Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as we embrace and do the Word of God. Join Jemi Adeleju in Type Changing Services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bustle, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday, Saturday, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace meets. God bless you. Leo Blue.